Well, that announcement ties in very well with the message, peace in times of distress. Do you ever feel like that character up there? There's plenty of things just happen in the normal course of life, isn't there? Maybe you start a new job. Melanie taught this class on crucial conversations. Those are conversations that you have to have with somebody that you get a little, that disturbs your peace thinking about having them is one way of looking at that. You all have those conversations. Maybe it's with a spouse, a child, a parent, an aging parent. It could be with a neighbor over some issue. It could be with an employer, an employee. These times come up, and when that happens, you're distressed. Maybe you don't act quite that crazy as the picture shows, but you're feeling it in one way or another. You're not sleeping well. You may not be eating well. You don't rest well. None of us are exempt from it. And then you put on top of that all the news items we're hearing today, all the stories we're trying to follow. And sometimes you just want to be like the ostrich. Turn it all off, stick your head in the ground, and just get into that secret place that we sang about earlier. And you need to go there, okay? If you're feeling overstressed out, that is what you need to do. You need to go to that secret place, to go into the realm of God's love and soak it into your life. It's the place of healing. Well, what I want to talk about this morning is, you know, just before Jesus went to the cross, he promised peace. This looks different than I'm used to, if I keep looking over my shoulder, that's why I'm not, I want to make sure that you're seeing what I want you to see up there, okay? You know the verse, you've heard it many times. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid." You remember, he made that promise at the Lord's Supper. The last Passover, we call it the Lord's Supper, it was in his culture, it was the last Passover he was going to have with his disciples. You think, well, it's a dinner. He said that. It was a nice, peaceful setting. But I don't know how much you've thought about that last Passover. It was anything but a peaceful event. Jesus came to the Last Supper just having just been through distress. He had just been in the cleansed the temple. He was in Jerusalem. He got news that a group of Greeks wanted to have a meeting with him. And when he heard that, it triggered in him, it's the time. It's time. He doesn't use the language, but he was reminded, it's time for me to go to the cross and be crucified. And it said, the scripture describes he felt great distress over thinking about that. And then he comes into this upper room for the Lord's Supper, and John describes him in John 13. He says, having loved his own until the end. His heart was so full of love for the 12 who was going to meet with him. His heart was also sad. It's the last time he's going to sit and have a meal with them. And then the thought went through his mind, one of these is going to betray me. And John records that there was his second time of great distress. It distressed him. He knew what was going to happen. He knew who was going to do it. He knew all the details about the betrayal. It says when he told the disciples, one of you is going to betray me, it brought great distress into his heart. When he told the disciples that one of them was going to betray him, distress went into their hearts. None of them could imagine it being the other one. You know, they didn't start out when he said that, oh, it's you, Stan, you're going to, I knew it. I knew you'd do that. No, what do they do? They say, is it me? They couldn't imagine. And most likely, the one who was going to betray him, Judas, was sitting in the seat of the honored guest at that meal. Can you believe that? And nobody suspected Judas. He held the money bags for them. They trusted him so much. They never questioned his integrity, his loyalty to Jesus. The thought, oh, I bet it's Judas. That didn't go through their mind. They were all thinking, it couldn't be any of you. It must be me. Is it me? I'm going to do this? And then it says they started arguing among themselves and pointing, said, no, wait a second, I'm the greatest. It can't be me. It must be you. It went from, is it me, to pointing fingers at one another and lifting themselves up. You start to feel what that meal felt like. Jesus came into it distressed, but his distress was under control. His peace overcame his distress. But now the disciples are feeling incredible distress. And then he started talking to them, started teaching them, and he said, I'm going away, and you can't come. Well, you remember who he said that to. These are the 12 people he handpicked. These are the 12 people. Every one of them said, every one of them made a decision to leave everything and follow Jesus. They left their businesses. They left their livelihoods. They were following Jesus, expecting he's going to usher in the kingdom. It's going to get better. And now, they already experienced being in Jerusalem and knowing there's a price on Jesus' head, that the religious leaders are out to kill him. In fact, when they came back to heal Lazarus, Thomas said, well, we might as well go back towards Jerusalem and die with Jesus. All that was going through their mind already. It was a distressful night. And then Jesus started teaching up. He said, I have a new commandment for you guys. Love one another just like I loved you. He interjects that into the flow of everything. And I'm sure they're sitting there scratching their head. They hadn't heard it put quite that way before. But Peter, he didn't hear the new commandment. He was still back when Jesus talked about the new commandment. He was still thinking about, now wait a second, Jesus is going away and I can't come with him. And he said, Jesus, why can't I come with you? I'll lay down my life for you. You're going to go die? Is that what you're trying to tell me? And you don't want me to die? Well, I will die for you. Why can't I come with you? And then you want to hear another shocker that just had to stir up the equilibrium and money, make their brains all feel like mush. Jesus turned to Peter and said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times tonight. Can you just feel the distress that was there in that room? And then Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't be distressed. Believe in God, believe in me. Okay, you believe in God? Well, I'm God. You know that. I've been telling you that. Believe in me. And then for the John, that this all fits into John chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And it's floated. Jesus went into teachings and discourses on the Holy Spirit. He's going to go away. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He talked about his relationship. The Father and I were one. He talked about why he was going to go away and what he was going to do when he was away, how he's going to prepare a place for them. I don't know. When I read those chapters, I just can't read them one time and I've got it. I read them and I read them and I read them. I'm still studying them. I'm still reading them and learning about them and soaking out the truth and the implications of those words that he gave them that night. Oh. Right in the middle of it, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be distressed or lacking in courage. He told them that the Holy Spirit was going to come. And the Holy Spirit was going to teach them everything he just taught them. Isn't that, you know, isn't that kind of a relief, you know? I'm not going to say anything nearly as profound as what Jesus said that night this morning, but if I told you, now you've got to go out of here and you've got to teach everything you hear this morning, okay? Some of you would get serious about that and you would have a notebook just full, okay? You'd be trying to get me down verbatim, word for word. They didn't even have notebooks, you know. They weren't scrolling. None of them had a little recorder. When I was a student at Moody Bible Institute, I was a recording buff. I spent money buying little cassette recorders, and I took them to class. I had some incredible professors, and we had some incredible conferences out there. They had a room where us recording nerds could take our recorders and set it up and plug it directly into the mic, and got beautiful recordings of Warren Wiersbe and different ones who came in and spoke out there to us. And I wanted to capture it. I have it all. I have all that on cassettes. And I saw that box of cassettes the other day, and I thought, I haven't looked at that in 40, 50 years. Listen to them. But it's there. But Jesus said, everything I said, the Holy Spirit's going to teach it to you. You know, when something's taught to you, you get it into you. And when it comes back out, it doesn't sound exactly the way it came in. It sounds like having gone through your filter. And he's going to remind you. Wow, don't we need reminded many times? Well, Jesus said, I'm leaving peace with you. And obviously he was successful, because look what happened. They leave that night, they go out to the garden after their meal, and all that distress the disciples were feeling, they were able to put it aside. Jesus even asked Peter, James, and John, look, you come a little further with me and pray with me. And look what they did. They slept, okay? He laid peace down on them. He left peace with them. The same peace he had, the same peace that allowed him to come into that dinner that night, being fully distressed, but not allowing that distress, the wringing of hands that he felt, the dread that he felt about what was before him, he could push it aside and stay focused. That's what peace does for us. That's what, when Jesus comes and gives us peace, he brought peace into the world, it says. Isn't that what the angel said when he was born? Peace is now on earth. It came into this troubled world that's full of distress when he was born. And now he's about to leave the world. What's he say? I'm leaving my peace. I'm leaving that very calmness that I was able to walk through this troubled world with. I'm leaving that very calmness that allowed me to go into the temple and be so angered at what I saw, and yet I controlled the way I turned over those tables and drove out the money changers. I'm leaving that peace with you, that sense of calmness. I'm leaving the peace with you that I had when I confronted the religious leaders who accused me of blasphemy and want to stone me, and I can be calm in their presence. I'm leaving that peace, he says. And evidently the disciples took him serious. They went out and they slept. Now he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace in the world. You have trouble and suffering, but take courage, I have conquered the world. All right, he's told it now. These things he told us, John 13 through 16, are really important things for you to read and read and reread and meditate on. I encourage you, go back. We're coming up. We've got one more week. Next Sunday's Palm Sunday. That kicks off what we call in the church Holy Week, the week leading up to the Easter and his crucifixion and resurrection. Great time just to, if you haven't found something else or you don't have something you're following or reading and you need something to focus on this next week, pick up John, get John 13, 14, 15, and 16 and just read it. Read it in a couple different translations. Read it in your favorite study Bible, but if you can get your hands on a copy of the Message, Eugene Peterson's Message, or the New Living Bible, or the Passion Bible, one of those. It'll just wake up your mind, the things that he says as you read how different ones have translated that. He wants us to have peace in this world. He wants you, when you've got one of those crucial conversations you have to make, he wants you to acknowledge, well, this is upsetting, Father. This is scary. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it. It's okay. You can say that and be there with him, but then he wants to bring a peace down on you so that your mind's clear, so that you can function at the height of the power of the Holy Spirit in you. The world has lots of trouble and suffering. Take courage. Well, just sort of a little recap on this picture. At his birth, peace came on earth. And the earth, down in the left corner, the picture, trying to remind us it's an evil place. The world is evil. Why? Who's the ruler of the world? Who's the ruler of this world? Those are the words of Jesus. Those are the words of Paul. We know who he is. At some point, Jesus is going to conquer the world. That's what he promised. The world can't give us peace. You know, the best the world can do is the group will get together and they'll write up a treaty. We call them peace treaties. We've been hearing a lot about this kind of thing in the last years. Legislators get together when there's a lot of violence and create new laws to stop the violence, to slow down the violence. But what happens to those treaties and what happens to those laws? Nothing's been done about the sinfulness of man's heart, and eventually the treaty gets corrupted or forgotten or ignored. The laws are corrupted, forgotten, or ignored. And the cycle goes all over again. War, violence, the lack of social peace, we'll call it. The world can't give us social peace. The picture of the scripture is there's going to be a kingdom when Jesus comes back and rules. Then there will be peace. Peace like we dream about. But in the meantime, you and I live in this ungodly environment. Ask Stan and Steve over at Morning Hour, Morning Sun Market at Thomasville, how unpeaceful that can be sometimes. It's wonderful. Well, there's wonderful times of peace, aren't there? When people come in, we sing, they chum in and sing with us, we pray, they say they've got healed, they get something worked out in their life, they meet Jesus. But oh, in between, you get taken off guard sometimes by the person that comes up and gets in your face. They hate us there. That's there too. That's the kind of world we live in. We're not friends of the world today, you know? So much of this craziness that's going on, it's aimed at us, the church. I hope you see that. So much of this crazy stuff, the way that we're trying to be mandated to do things. It's clear the mask mandates and the stay-at-home mandates of COVID. What did some of the... it was trying to keep us out of church, right? Laws were there. We're the target behind much of what's going on. So it is distressful. It is distressful. But just like this class, I think what Angie's wanting to have with us is to help us not get caught off guard. But we want to walk into whatever comes at us with courage, with boldness, confident about the love of Christ. And we want to be filled with his peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Why? To live in this world of trouble and suffering. Jesus is praying for you. In John 17, he says, "I'm praying not to take him out of the world, Lord. I'm praying that in this world, we will walk victoriously in peace and joy and love." Uh-oh, what did I do? Again, just another summary picture. The cradle, peace came on earth at the cross. Jesus goes to the cross and dies, but he lets his peace back. The what he does on the cross opens the door for you and I to individually have peace between us and God. That's where true peace begins. See, that's what the world can't do with all of its peace treaties and laws to slow down violence. It has nothing to do with that. But at the cross, Jesus did something that now he can let his peace behind. Because when you trust in him and you believe in him, when you talk to somebody else and the light bulb comes on for them and they realize, oh yeah, you know, in all these years of my life, I've never overcome this sinful habit or this sinful attitude or whatever. And you're saying Jesus wants to forgive me and Jesus wants to put new life in me and Jesus wants to give me the ability to say no to those sinful things. That's pretty unique. But do you understand why we're being so opposed? Satan knows. Man, the more we get that message out, the more we tell people, the more people believe in Jesus and find peace with God, the stronger becomes the church. The stronger. I don't believe we're going to totally change the world. I don't think we're going to do that. I don't see that's the mission of the church. I see the mission of the church is to keep faithful in the midst of suffering. In fact, Jesus told us very, very clearly, the closer we get to his return, the evil's going to increase. It's going to get stronger and stronger. Satan's going to be raging more and more. Psalm 2 says, why do the nations rage? Well, we're seeing all over the world. If you're paying any attention, I don't think there's a place in the world that there isn't some kind of tyrant trying to override people in some way. It's either communist, Marxist tyrants, or it's religious tyrants who are trying to manipulate and control. Everywhere we're seeing this, all over the place. When Jesus comes back wearing his crown, peace will get restored. That's our hope. Only Jesus can offer true peace. Only Jesus can set people free from the bondage to sin. Anyone who confesses their sin, he won't turn away from. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gave us some pretty hands-on stuff about all this. Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let everyone see your gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, tell your request to God. And look what's going to happen. If you'll take that verse, those couple of verses serious and work them into your life, he says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You will have an unexplainable peace. And I know from listening to some of you have experienced that. You go through something and you think, I shouldn't be as relaxed and calm as I am. But you've learned. I can't read a lot of words. I got to get a picture, okay? So this is my attempt to picture that verse, those were verses. You rejoice. You learn to be joyful about in the Lord. You can, no matter what goes on, you know who Jesus is. You know he came to earth as God. You know he died. You know he's alive. You know he's coming back. You can always rejoice in that hope that we hold on to. And then I call it live grace. That's live grace. Receive it. You know, if you mess up, you have a little spat with your spouse or somebody you love, you behave the way you shouldn't, don't don't cover it up. Just, Lord, I did it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. Live. You get the grace. When you get the grace, now you're in a position to offer grace to other people who mistreat you. And you turn around and you give them grace. Live graciously. Live big. Live like Jesus. Live like a person filled with the Holy Spirit. And then pray grateful. Pray as you're praying. Don't just, oh, Lord, do this for me. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, I want to see you. You've done so much for me. Thank you. Thank you. I want to see your name honored. I want to see your kingdom coming, your will being done. Get your prayers surrounded and soaked up in gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in my life. And I know you're going to take me to the next thing in life. Don't be desperate. Just say, Lord, you're going to provide my daily need. You've done it already, and I know you will. I got to keep moving. The next couple verses talk about getting our mind focused so you see God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And what you learned and received and learned and saw in me, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, you probably can't read those words from way back there, but it's all those words putting around. You want to cry out to God for the discipline. If you're sitting around thinking about, oh, somebody just said that to me, they're a horrible person, they don't like me, those are negative thoughts. Don't think about those thoughts. Think about what's true. Think about what's pure. Think about what's praiseworthy. Repent of that kind of thinking. And God says the God of peace will be with you. When you're thinking, oh, I'm no good, when you're thinking that person's such and such, they're a lousy person, and that those kinds of thoughts are going through your mind, you're thinking nothing good's going to happen to me, that's the kind of thinking that God's not going to come around you with that until you confess it and acknowledge it and do what you've learned. We have the Lord's peace. He brought it. Before he left it for you. It's there. It's up to you and I to let it be well with our souls. Let's sing that song.